Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So yesterday, the big news was the NLRB, according to the reports coming out, they're going to set aside, down the road this is going to happen, they're going to set aside the election in Bessemer, Alabama, of the workers who wanted to join and form a union at the Amazon plant there. I'm going to set that aside because of all the, and I love the word, improprieties. You mean rule breaking. They were breaking the law. All of the law breaking. That's what the headline should have said, not improprieties. And my take on it is they broke the law. There should be a penalty. There should be a penalty. And that penalty is immediate union recognition. None of this stuff, oh, we're going to set aside the election and we'll run another one. That is not a punishment to Amazon. And here to share some thoughts on the potential NLRB decision, where we are at this moment, maybe where he sees things going, I've asked John Logan to come back and talk with us. John's a professor and the director of labor and employment studies at San Francisco State University. He has written extensively on the Amazon organizing campaign, which is why he's the perfect person to come back and share some thoughts. John, thanks for taking time for us.
Glad to be on, Rick, as always.
So at this moment, it's not official. We've got a hearing judge saying, you know, this is what he's recommended. Do you see this going forward? Did you see them setting aside the election?
Yeah. Didn't mean to interrupt. So as you said, what we have is the hearing officer's report and recommendation. And she's recommending overturning result. It has to go now to the regional director for a decision, in this case, NLRB Region 10 Atlanta. And before that happens, the parties, both Amazon and the RWDSU, can file exceptions to the hearing officer's report. And it can take a number of weeks before the issuance of the hearing officer's decision. But having said that, it would be uncommon for the regional director to overturn a recommendation from the hearing officer. And it would be particularly surprising in this case because, you know, I was saying to you before we came on, I attended every minute of that post-election hearing. I also know, you know, this hearing officer has a good reputation at the board. She's an experienced agent who does a good job, and the report did not omit any important issues. And so I think the regional director is going to issue a decision recommending a rerun election and setting out a timetable for a rerun election. Now, again, as you know, that's not the end of it. So when we get the regional director's decision, you know, likely in a few weeks, either party can file a request for review by the full National Labor Relations Board in D.C.
Right.
Now, the board must grant that request. It's not a right of review. It's just a right to request. If the board grants a review, then in this particular case, the board's decision is actually final. There is no, in this particular instance, there's no appeal to a federal court in a representation case such as this. The reason is that the case was limited to objections to the Bessemer election. It wasn't a consolidated unfair labor practice case. You know, there were other unfair labor practices during the campaign, including the alleged termination of two pro-union activists who were engaged in union activity. That was filed as a separate complaint with the NLRB. So as a result, because it was simply objections to the election, it was heard by hearing officer, not by an administrative law judge. And so Amazon does not have the right to appeal it to the federal court, which is a good thing for the union. So again, this is my understanding. I've spoken to board members about this. You know, I've been told that is correct. It doesn't mean that Amazon doesn't have any further recourse. I mean, of course, you know, when you have like an unlimited financial and legal resources to fight these things, there are always things that you can do. And I'm happy, you know, I understand the process that they could object to take this objection further. But that would probably require the certification of the union by the board, which of course, you know, if we're talking about a rerun election, the timetable for a rerun election will depend, it'll be set out by the regional director, but the timing, of course, would very much depend upon what then happens with the appeals process if it actually goes to the full board in DC. If that happens, typically that process actually takes several months. The Obama NLRB did try to speed up those decisions.
Right.
Of course, you know, everything went backwards with the Trump NLRB. We still have a Republican majority at the moment, but we very soon, you know, two Democrats have been nominated. When William Emanuel, one of the Republicans, steps down at the end of August, he will be replaced by a Democrat. We will very soon have a Democratic majority on the NLRB. So, you know, that you know, say process can take several months, but that would be the end of it. If Amazon, you know, and Amazon would be likely to lose before the full board, if the union were eventually certified, and of course that, you know, that's a very big if at the moment, because winning rerun elections is incredibly difficult, as you know. I mean, we can only say that, you know, typically unions tend not to fare well in these rerun elections, you know, when the employer has already committed unfair labor practice, when it's, you know, already created an atmosphere of fear and intimidation and terror, when it's already poisoned the well, you know, whatever way you want to put it, it's very difficult, you know, for the union to come back and win a rerun within a relatively short period of time.
Right.
However, if the union were to win a rerun election, then the employer can refuse to bargain, which triggers a refusal to bargain unfair labor practice. The board's decision in that case, you know, typically those are resolved through what's called summary judgment process, can be appealed to a federal court. And, you know, the employers fare much better when those decisions actually go to federal courts.
Right.
So, but, you know, in terms of the rerun election, I think as things stand, things look reasonably good. The problem, as you say, is, you know, even a rerun election, that's not a real penalty, you
it's
know,
not a
on
penalty.
The company. No, no. But, you know, it does, you know, I read the decision today. I got it from the NLRB this morning. It's about 70 pages long, but as I say, a lot of it was very familiar to me already, having attended the hearing. It makes very clear that Amazon's behavior was completely unlawful, that what Amazon did, you know, particularly around this mailbox, it wasn't the only issue, but it was the sort of centerpiece of the unfair labor practice charge. And, you know, some people might sort of say, oh, come on, just a mailbox. Really, you know, if you had sat through this, you would understand how this, you know, mailbox, which Amazon got by pressuring the most senior management, by bullying them, by harassing them, into installing a one-time, one-customer mailbox for an NLRB election, which the senior postal appearing under subpoena at the NLRB hearing, terrified of saying anything that would upset Amazon, said was the only time in his decades at the postal service had a mailbox been installed in anything like these circumstances. And not only that, this is like after Amazon had been told by the board on several occasions, no on-site balloting. So then it went ahead, bullied the post office, getting this mail. And it asked the Postal Service, can we put election slogans on the actual physical mailbox? And he said, no, under no circumstances can you do that. So what they did is they covered it with a tent, with a marquee, and they plastered the marquee with election slogans. They recreated the atmosphere of a polling booth, albeit a polling booth that was plastered with Amazon's Vote No election slogans. In every communication with workers, they said, vote early and vote using our mailbox, the one that we have 30 cameras pointing at from the front of the building. This mailbox really did transform the entire, every worker who testified said they were aware of the mailbox, that they didn't trust Amazon, that they didn't know who had access to the mailbox, that they didn't know why the company had been allowed to install the mailbox. You know, it really changed the, but I mean, that was a minor, it completely changed the election, but you know, it would take us several hours, probably several days, if you wanted to ask me, like, go over all of the anti-union things that Amazon did.
And the thing is, you know, it's not just Amazon who gets away with this. It's most employers who do this.
Absolutely.
And they all get away with it. So I've been saying for years, there's got to be real teeth. There's got to be a real punishment. And that is, they should have imposed union recognition on that facility. They should have been forced into bargaining, and we need laws that make sure that there is a contract at the end of the road, because here we know, even had they imposed union recognition on Amazon, they can drag the bargaining process out for the entire year and seek a decert vote on the other side. We know the laws are so badly broken. We know they're intimidated. And the other part, John, that gets me is this is a place that has enormous turnover. I'd probably bet that there isn't one person left in that Bessemer facility who actually signed a union card wanting the election. So at some point, Amazon, I'm assured, is going to turn around and go, well, there's nobody here who signed a card. There shouldn't be an election. And they go, oh, you're right. You win.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And you know, again, we talked about this briefly, but according to, you know, the New York Times had that wonderful, you know, really in-depth journalism, you know, on Amazon a couple of months ago about what it's really like to work there. They have 150% turnover per annum in these fulfillment centers, you know, way above the industry average. I mean, we're not just talking about, oh, that's what warehouse jobs are like. No. That's what warehouse jobs are like if you work for Amazon. And, you know, they essentially have a new workforce every 8 months for, you know, two very obvious reasons. One is that there's just absolutely punishing physical and psychological pressure, you know, which was described again at great length. But, you know, we've read about it time after time after time. You know, people just physically and psychologically cannot take these jobs very well. Second, there's no career path. There's no way to move up. You know, they talk about this $15 an hour starting wage. You know, $15 is lower than the median wage in Jefferson County in Alabama, where that warehouse is located. And it's lower than the wage rates for unionized warehouses in Jefferson County. But you can't move much higher than that. You know, the point is, you know, there are very few openings for people to make careers at Amazon, and so they leave. But you're quite right about the board. I mean, I agree 100%, you know, that this is just not a sufficient penalty. And, you know, the Biden NLRB, when we have a Democratic majority on this board, I mean, I know we sort of learn to be cynical about these things, and with good reason, but this board really needs to start, you know, working seriously. You know, I like Biden. I think he's been good for labor. But, you know, the time for nice words is over. Now we really need action. And, you know, they need to take on. And Amazon, as you said, everyone gets away with it, you know, who fights the union. Almost everyone gets away with it. But Amazon is more important than almost anyone at this point. Yeah. And so they need to target, you know, the egregious you know, habitual labor law violator. I mean, Amazon, this is not the first time. It's not the second time. It's not the third time. You know, there was a story in Vice today, a wonderful story by Lauren Gurley, who I spoke to this morning about the story, about the board finding Amazon guilty of anti-union behavior in Staten Island in New York at an organizing campaign going on there. So, you know, the Obama NLRB, and this is very limited, but it's a start. You know, what they did with Walmart is that they started to issue consolidated complaints based on a widespread nationwide pattern of anti-union behavior.
Right.
We need the same at Amazon because, you know, Amazon is the poster child for labor law violations at this point. I mean, it may not have had as many cases because it's not been around for so long and unions haven't been trying to organize there for so long, but every single time you organize now at Amazon, you are going to get a blistering anti-union campaign, which is going to be lots of things that are legal that shouldn't be legal, but unfortunately are. But it's also going to be illegal stuff because for them, that's just the cost of doing business. And the law is no deterrent, as you said. And you know, when they violate the law, there's no proper punishments because, you know, the penalties are meaningless when it comes to a company like Amazon. So, yeah, you know, from the Biden NLRB and the Biden Department of Labor, you know, which can there's things that they can do, and they need to start taking on the Amazons of this world, you know, these superstar companies that have, you know, almost unlimited resources and are using them to crush their workers' attempts to organize time and time and time again.
No, I'm right there with you. And again, you know, the punishment usually is don't do it again. Don't do it again. Post a notice.
Yeah.
Post a notice. Promise you won't do it again. Post that notice for 30 days.
Yeah.
And then after on 31 days, they start doing it all over again because the notice came down. There has to be real teeth. So, you know, in looking at the talk about the PRO Act, and look, I don't think the PRO Act's enough. I want a full repeal of Taft-Hartley. I want to return to the original intent of the NLRA. Doesn't look like we're getting that either, but might get some financial penalties.
Yeah.
Do you think in a case like what we're looking at Amazon, that, you know, $50,000-$100,000 fines per violation it would be enough to deter Amazon from continually breaking the law? Or do you just think, you know what, even that's not even close to enough to holding them accountable?
Yeah. I don't think it's enough in a case like Amazon, but I do think, you know, it would be a step forward. Like you said, the most likely thing it looks like, you know, at this point is, through this budget, bill, huge, $3 trillion budget bill that's only supported by Democrats that would have to pass the Senate through this reconciliation process. So the things that are included in it must pass muster with the Senate parliamentarian. God knows who came up with this idiotic system. But, you know, and they have to be clearly budget related. And that's why you get the financial penalties out of the PRO Act and not all of the other things in the PRO Act that we really are, you know, urgently need and would like to see. And so, as you said, you know, they have this system of financial penalties, you know, 5,000, you know, first offenders, 10,000 repeat offenders per violation per worker. And, you know, it adds up. But, it adds up, but you know, if it adds up to hundreds of thousands, even if it were to add up to millions, you know, again, to Amazon, it's the cost of doing business. Yeah.
Amazon spent $200 million.
Yeah,
you know, putting this back. You know, what's another couple of thousand? Last question I've got for you, because I keep coming back to this moment that, you know, we're reliving the Gilded Age. We're reliving the era of robber baron class and their monopolies and crushing of labor. At some point, we need a trust buster. At some point, Amazon is getting too big. Walmart's too big. Yeah. A lot of these things are too big. Yeah. They've got too much outweighed power. We got to start busting some of this stuff up.
Yeah. No, 100% agree. And again, you know, as we spoke about before, but I think the really positive thing here it's not the possibility of a rerun election, which is going to be really difficult for the. The really positive thing is it keeps this in the news, keeps the spotlight on it.
Right.
People get to see what egregious bully Amazon is. You know, how it has no respect for its workers, no respect for consumers, no respect for the environment, and on and on and on. You know, and, eventually you can only hope that this sort of helps to create a national dialogue around these issues, like the need to strengthen workers' rights. And, I know it's in sort of platitude, but, you know, no one likes a bully. No one likes a cheat. You know, Amazon has been found out to be a bully. We've known that for a long time. It's been found out to have cheated in this NLRB election. You can only hope that, that this sort of adds to creating an opportunity to tackle these issues. And I do think, we've spoken about this before, it's very unfortunate that we don't have the situation, in the Senate that we had when Obama first came in, in 2009, 2010, because I do think with this administration, understands the importance of these issues and, campaigns like Bessemer and, the incredible media coverage, including on this program that you've given to it, it actually has gotten people's attention. People are paying notice, to the issue of labor rights and the brutality, understanding the brutality of anti-union campaigns in a way that they haven't before. So, we can only hope that things like that, I think, open up an opportunity.
Yeah.
And that, we're able to make the most of whatever opportunities arise.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And as it continues, we'd love to have you back to keep us up to date on what you're following and what you're seeing. John, as always, I appreciate you taking time for us.
Okay, thanks very much, Rick. Glad to be on always.
Good stuff. John Logan, professor and director of labor and employment studies there at San Francisco State University. As I said, he's written extensively on this. We'll get some links out on social media. You can check out his writing. Let's take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.